over 35 years ago, Mori Verabi, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, still lived in New York, was called upon to deliver a hesped. Took place in Forest Hills, Queens. The Nifter was the father of a very close friend of mine. I'd like to quote what Rav Aaron Zatzal said at that hesped and apply it to Rav Aaron himself. Began with the Gemara in Masechet Brachos Daf Hei Amud Beis. The story of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar visits him and is crying. Rabbi Yochanan asks him, "Why are you crying? You had problems, I had bigger problems, you didn't learn the Torah, so it doesn't matter, you had the right kavanas. You weren't wealthy." No, most people aren't wealthy, especially if they've been a Torah. Amalei lahayshufa debali biyaraka bachina. I'm crying, I'm contemplating the fact that the shufra, the beauty, that was Rabbi Yochanan, is going to be swallowed up in the earth. The thought of this brings me to tears. This is something which is worthy of tears, and they cry together. It's true. Someone gives me a Gemara Brachas, I'll read it to you inside. It's true, Rabbi Yochanan was known as a very, very good-looking man. Thank you very much. A very good-looking man. The Gemara tells us in a few other places, including in the, later on the Sechta Brochus. But still, just because this individual was the beauty of Rabbi Yochanan is not going to live forever, this is enough of a reason to cry. Gam shifdigu beperek apolen b'shufer de Rabbi Yochanan. Whoever learned this Gemara underlined this, I appreciate it. Rabbi Yochanan said about himself, "I remain from the beauty of Yerushalayim." Nimtza kishayamus. Bola Ashufra Mikol B'nei Yerushalayim Biafra. When Rabbi Yochanan would pass in the world, he was the last remnant, the last link, the beauty of Yerushalayim. It would all be lost. Rabbi Aaron was being maspid, a Rav whom he knew from Warsaw yet. And he said that he knew this individual from Warsaw. And Warsaw was the Yerushalayim of Poland. There were so many Chachmei Yisrael there. And so when he was overwhelmed by the loss of this Rav who represented for him the link to the Yerushalayim of Poland, the glorious tradition, he passed away, this Choshev Rav, this Talmud Chacham, Rabban invoked this Gemara in Masechta Brachos Daf Hei with the Pirush of the Maharsha. I say to you, dear Talmidim, that for me, the image of my Rebbe, Rav Aaron, Zichrono Livracha, the last, the glorious chain of Rabbonim, whose early training was still on the European continent. And while Baruch Hashem, we're still privileged to have a number of the Ziknei Rosh Yeshivas in our midst, both here in the Yeshiva and elsewhere. For me and my own personal development, certainly within my, within people who are now in the American continent, this is it. The link, the chain, has come to an end. And therefore, at the Petir of Rav Aaron, we cry, Ado Vadeka Bachina, the entire generation is gone. So hard for me to bring the Talmidim who are Baruch Hashem, young, fresh faces, Koichos and Limud HaTorah, to describe for you the world in which I came to the yeshiva as a youngster. It was a different world. Some of you were here to hear Dr. Lukin, my classmate. We came to the yeshiva together. We graduated together. I think we got smicha together. It was a different world than the world we live in today. Came to this yeshiva, it was 1964, the year after Kennedy was shot. Oh, interesting world we lived in then. Ah, Vietnam was just heating up. And I was coming from Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yaakov Yosef. A wonderful yeshiva in its time. The yeshiva where Rav Aaron Zatzal sent his own sons. Though they were a little bit younger than I was. I knew them a little bit peripherally from the yeshiva. And I came there. I was privileged to learn with distinguished Rosh Yeshivas. At a certain point of view. Maybe it's appropriate to mention at this time that the last Rebbe I had in Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yaakov Yosef in my senior year was the great Talmud Chacham who Zolzayin Gezutten Shtark, Rabbi Zedel Epstein. Some of you may know him or heard of him. Now the Mashkiach in Torah Or in Yerushalayim, B'liayin Or, we thought of him as an older man then. And B'liayin Or, Sheyarech Yomer Mishonim. And he deserves a lot of credit for the development of his Talmidim. I was one of them. And it was a time when learning wasn't popular. I still remember in 1964 he was telling us, do you have any concept? Somebody of finishing Shas. And everyone snickering in the back of the room and making chayzik. What's this man finishing Shas? Where's he coming from? What's he talking about? Is he crazy? What? For me and for some friends of mine who were able to latch on to this greatness. Here's a Talmud of Rav Shimon Shkop, who lived and breathed Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon was referred to as the Rav, and everybody would tell us, and it was such, he would make things come to life. He spoke in Yiddish, of course, as all the Rebbeim did, spoke there in Yiddish. And I was, thank God, able to understand the Yiddish well and to have a personal relationship with him. And you probably, let's be real. We don't have to, I don't like revisionist history. Let's be real. Not Rav Zedel, he was never that way. But we were called in, a group of us were hauled into a room, and we were told by the Rosh Hashiva, Metonish Gain, I'll try to say it first in Yiddish, but it's easy to understand, because you'll hear in a second. Metonish Gain, Tzum De Yeshiva Ofen Barg, on the mountain, mit dem medical school. That's how it was phrased to us. In my case, there was no question where I was going. My father learned here, and there was no issue. It wasn't even an issue. But still, they hauled me in too, and I appreciated what they were attempting to do, and I understood where they were coming from. Rabbi Zedel was always very, very nice to us, and I had a friend as part of the story. My friend was Bezalel Safran. Some of you may know him. He's now a professor in Toronto. And I remember we went to Rav Zedel's house for a Shabbos. This is in June, after he already knew we were going to Dem Yeshiva, Mittenbach, Offenbach, Mitten Medical School, didn't bother him. He took us into his house, and it was in East New York. There was the only other Jew that I recognized was Rav Pam Zatzal. He lived, everyone else was really no Yidden. And he wanted us to go to the other, to stay in the Yeshiva Yaakov Yosef. Who was supposed to be my Rebbe in Yeshiva Yaakov Yosef? Then, Rav Shavshik. As history would have it, irony would have it, Rav Shavshik and Rav Aaron became Mechutanim. Rav Elio was married to his daughter. That was years later. So I went to take a Bechina by the unforgettable Rav Mendel Zaks. People don't even know who this is. It's important that you understand appreciation of history. Rav Mendel Zaks, the Chofetz Chaim's son-in-law, no more, no less. And he would give Bechinas. I won't go into his Bechinas right now. It's a whole other story. But he gave me a Bechina, and I was so advanced. Instead of being in the first yeshiva, he pushed me into a second yeshiva. Now, originally I was going to go to first yeshiva, so when I was still in high school, my father told me, you're going to go to my friend. He knew what was going on in the yeshiva then. And he referred to Rabbi Weiss. But he called him by the nickname, which is based on the color of his hair, which was how he was known in his then color of his hair, which is the way he was known in the 1930s when he was a Talmid with my father. You'll go to Ishiya. By the time I got to Ishiya, various things happened, which I will not go into now. He was really giving a Yoredei Ishiya. That was out. In his place stood Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. Not bad. I wouldn't have to go to Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein Ishiya. No. Because I was advanced. Yaakov Yosef was considered advanced. They pushed me into a second Ishiya. It was named Rabbi Fishman. I didn't know Rabbi Fishman was. Go to Rabbi Fishman. No problem, Gevaldik. But his friend of mine, Bezalel, had a father, Zichron Lebrach, who was a professor in the graduate school of education. He said, but Sal, this is not for you. You have to go to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Shiva. He wanted it to be different. So he had protection. So he got him in. He's telling me, so now, just a week before the yeshiva is about to start, he's going to Rabbi Soloveitchik Shiva. So I told my father, you know, oh yeah? I also have pull. So he called up the office and said, you know, my son is a chavrusa with Bezalel. Good. So I'm coming here to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Shiur. It was mentioned at the Hespedim last night. Rav Aaron is one of the first rabbis to teach in English. Remember, I didn't hear Shiurim in English. My English is my native tongue. I was used to the Shiur being in Yiddish. I come, and there I am, and Rav Aaron is there. And remember, that Bezalel and I, with a few others, were 2 years younger than the average Talmud in the Shiur. A lot of distinguished, now accomplished Rabbonim who made their mark in various fields of Torah education, and they were in that Shiur together. Just a few names that come to mind right off the top of the hat, I believe. There's Rabbi Kualwas, the principal nearby, and Rabbi Dworkin, Rabbi Wahastik. These were there a couple of years older than us, and they were the main, we were the sort of the upstarts, a bunch of younger chevra, Sal and myself, and some of the MTA boys who pushed into Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Shiur the year before. And from there, So we had a whole bunch of chevra. And here comes the first day, and I really didn't know Rav Aaron. I know my father knew Rav Aaron well from the yeshiva. But I didn't know he was coming the first day, and walks in a man, I'm telling you, he was then, in 1964, was bent over like this. Then, my wife told me that her father, Zolzayin Gesund, who was also in the yeshiva at the same time, used to make fun of Rav Aaron in gym class. Gotta go to gym? Is gym still a requirement in the yeshiva? There was a required yeshiva college in the late 30s. And Rav Aaron would have to go like this, around and around. He would make it, he'd go bent like this and go like this. It all came from his incredible asmoza. That's what I'm sure undoubtedly where it didn't come from nothing. We already heard yesterday that his mother told him not to play. So he didn't play. So I'm a mela. Okay. And here I am just, sitting the first day. I was nervous and I had a young kid and the older boys. What's going to be in this issue? What's going to happen? So I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what's going to happen. So the rabbi says, who wants to read the Gemara? This was not the way I was brought up in the Rebbe read the Gemara. Who wants to read the Gemara? And it was in English. That's the first way. So another Choshev Rav who was sitting there in the room was Rabbi David Miller, not Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. He said, okay, I'll read the Gemara. So he read the Gestalt, was doing Gittin. He read, and he's just reading. Rabban is sitting there. I don't know, what's going on over here? So finally got to the end of a Tosfos, and that base in Gittin about Akko. Akko, a complicated story. There's this side of Akko, the other side of Akko, in there, it's all nice. And all of a sudden, Rabban stopped, okay, and starts to go. I'm saying, my pen, I hadn't even written anything yet. And all of a sudden, I start writing. I dug up my notebook from this falling apart. See this shiurim I have? And these shiurim were used by the Talmidim to study for the Bechinas. They were known then as Ha'oros Mu. That, that nickname was given to it by an interesting man named Michelson. I don't know if anyone remembers. Dr. Lee Michelson, Zalazangas Unterstark. His Shiurim started right then. It started amazingly because we had no Shiur till after Yontif that year. It was one of those early years. Erev HaShchodesh Cheshvin Tavshin Chafei. The first Shiur, Erev HaShchodesh Cheshvin, mind you. And the last Shiur in this particular notebook, which goes until Gittin, Daf, Yud Zion, apparently, is Purim time. Yud Gimel Adar Aleph. So it must have been a leap year, I guess. Tavshin Chafei, that's what it's written over here. And the culture of Chaim. So a whole notebook full. So, however, as we already heard last night, that was the regular Gemara Shiurim, which met Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday, especially the last day of the Shiurim, as the whole Shiur, was the Hashkafa Shiur. The Hashkafa Shiur was a Chiddush, because most Rebbeim then, it was just every day, you know, the Gemara, once in a while they just give a vertel or something. But to make a special thing called Hashkafa Shiur, this is uniquely Rabbarant, and it was so popular, people from other Shiurim would come to sit in on the Shiur on Thursdays, and there was complaints to Mr. Abrams, who was the runner of the office, what's going on, my Shiur is empty on Thursday, I was going here, Rabbar, what's going on over here? But that had a different notebook. I was just looking through old notebooks. This notebook, a loose leaf. This is written notes in Hebrew, and this is written notes in English. I guess I wasn't. I figured that somehow. I don't know why. I was a kid, but these have notes in English. So I want to share with you this evening something which has to do with the very first shiur Rabban. I heard it was preached here from him in the yeshiva, which is on that base. And then we'll tie it a little bit to Masechta Beita. And also I want to share with you some of the highlights. I was looking in this notebook, the English notebook, of the Hashkafa Shiurim, which I heard from Rabban Zichrono Livracha, on the parashas of these weeks. Some from Vayera, between Vayera and Chayei Sara. A few highlights from what I have in these notebooks. The Rambam, in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, tells us that there were two times that Eretz Yisrael was inhabited. The first by Olei Mitzrayim, and the second by Olei Bavel. The first called the Kedusha Rishona, which Rambam passes as Lo Kitchel Asad Lavo, and the second, Kedusha Shnia, Kitchel Ashata, the Kitchel Asad Lavo. And throughout Hilchas Mitzvot HaTluyos Ba'aretz and Sefer Zeroyim, the Rambam tells us that the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are the boundaries of Olei Bavel, Kedusha Shniya. Kedusha Rishon was Batel. So, I guess to the uninitiated, this means that is it. That's the only boundary that counts. All that counts is the Kedusha of Olei Bavel, and the Kedusha of Olei Mitzrayim has historical significance, but that's about it. And in his very first Shia that I heard from Rabaran, he taught us concepts, new concepts that we were not exactly familiar with, even though we had learned for many years in the yeshiva. And I want to say, in a certain preface, you know, Chazal say, on the Psukim at the very end of Sefer Koheles, that the words of Chachamim are sometimes not nitkoyim b'libeinu, don't enter into our hearts until they are nesafim, bali asupos, because I always appreciate when they're with us, when you can see them and you can talk to them. And you... Unlike Dr. Lukens, who really, to his great credit, pursued the close connection and relationship with the Baron Zichrono Livracha straight through throughout all the years, I really sort of lost the connection. He moved out. Yes, I was one of the individuals who signed the petition begging him to reconsider, should stay. But when he decided to leave, we already heard yesterday, it was a psak, or an eitzah from Rav Kamenetsky Zatzal for the Toelos of Klal Yisrael. It was basically the Mesiris Nefesh, therefore. So I lost touch. And I also moved to that after my year in Rabban Shir to his brother to the Rav Shir. So I became, I guess you might say, a Talmud of the Rav. I never lost Hakorat Tov for Rabban, but we just didn't see him. I don't think I even saw him for who knows how many years went by. 15 years probably went by, I'm guessing, after that I even saw him. Nonetheless, so very often things which I see in my notes from Rabaran, in my own mind, what? Rabaran said, I heard this from the Rav. Because the Rav used to say, they used to say many things the same. And I've forgotten that they're in the notes. This one I didn't forget, because that was the first year I heard, but as I was looking through it, I'll mention it soon. I remember that the Rav used to say the same, similar ideas. So undoubtedly some of it goes back to previous generations. In any event, Rav Baron was mechadish for us, a chiddush, that there are two halachas. That was always his theme. I learned that for the first time. Everything was two halachas. One was Shem Eretz Yisrael, and one was Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And with respect to Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, in fact, we paskin Kedusha Rishon as Batla. Only the Kedusha Shnia is lost at level. That's in Kedusha. But Shem Eretz Yisrael, to this day and throughout the generations, goes back to the original boundaries. The boundaries found in the Torah Kedosha, which are more or less the boundaries of the kibush of Ole Mitzrayim of Yoshua and subsequent generations shortly thereafter. For example, I'm looking here on the first page of my notes. In Hilchos Sanhedrin Perek Dal Halacha Vav, the Rambam says, smicha can be given only in Eretz Yisrael. Can't give smicha, I don't mean our smicha. I mean the real smicha, ish mipiyish, ad Moshe Rabbeinu, can only be given in Eretz Yisrael. What is Eretz Yisrael, writes the Rambam? The Eretz Yisrael, the kibush of Ole Mitzrayim. It's a chastira. Rambam himself wrote in Hilchos Beis HaBechira that that's bottle. So the Radvaz answers that kishu Ole Mitzrayim is the shaito legabe mitzvah tzluyos ba'aretz. Depend upon kedusha. But smicha depends upon shame Eretz Yisrael, kinyan Eretz Yisrael. This has nothing to do with the kedusha of the agricultural mitzvahs. Tachuzas olam, and therefore it's forever. And then he went on to speak about the details of Akkar. I believe it's printed. This Dvar Torah wasn't printed at the time, but now it's printed in one of the Svarim or the Beis Yitzchak somewhere. It's printed that half had this and half had that. And you can go look it up in the printed Maimon. I'd like to just tie this in briefly, since we're learning Masechta Beitza this year. This has relevance to our Masechta as well. Many of you have reached the sugya of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius. The sugya Masechta Beitza, the Avdalah Amid Beis. And here we find once again a dispute on this very topic. How do you define Eretz Yisrael for this purpose? It's a double machlokes between the Ritva and the Ramba. The Ritva Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Yudches has two chidushim. Number one, that once they made a takonas chazal, hizoru minig avoseichem biyodeichem, it's no longer a function of mokam shashluchim agiyim, as the Gemara would have in Rosh Hashanah. Rather, the name implies Yontav Sheni Shel Golius. Eretz Yisrael has no Yontav Sheni, none of it, and Golus, all of it, has Yontav Sheni. Chiddush number one. Chiddush number two, the definition of Eretz Yisrael is the expansive definition. Eretz would be called, what I would call here, Shem Eretz Yisrael. The Ole Mitzrayim, the larger definition, the Gvulos HaTorah. The Rambam argues twice. Rambam Menuchos Kiddush HaChodesh Perakei says no. Number one, he says, even today, it's a function of the Shluchim. Where the Shluchim reached. Where they did reach, they kept, we keep one day Yontif, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Laretz. And where they did not reach, we keep 2 days Yontif, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Laretz. Everyone who knows the Brisker of Menhagim knows that the Brisker of Avelvela, and I imagine his descendants after him, keep Lechumra, a second day of Yontif, living in Geula, in Yerushalayim. Because they don't know, were there people living in Geula at that time? I don't know. There was Yerushalayim was within the walled city. And although you imagine things expanded perhaps outside, but how do you know to Geula? Number two, Rambam in Perakei does mention Eretz Yisrael, and the Chazon Ish explains what the Rambam means. He didn't accept the Brisker of Sum. Chazon Ish says that the Rambam means that if you are in Eretz Yisrael, you can make a presumption, unless you know otherwise, that the Shluchim did arrive, as opposed to in Chutz Laretz, where if you don't know, you have to assume the Shluchim did not arrive. So again, the Rambam is correct that it all depends upon Shluchim. But since we're not experts in the history, we don't know exactly where the Shluchim arrived. So in Eretz Yisrael, if we don't know otherwise, we can keep 1 day. And the Chutz says, if we don't know otherwise, we keep 2 days. But what Eretz Yisrael are we talking about right there? I'm in Perakei Lechus Kiddush HaChodesh. It's the Eretz Yisrael of Ole Bovel. So what occurred to me, Gevalt. According to the Shir, we heard from a Baron Zal that the only time Ole Bovel is relevant is for what? It's for agricultural mitzvahs. So why then does the Rambam say here, as opposed to what he says in Hilchos Sanhedrin for Smich and Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh for Wake and Mekadesh Chodesh and in Egla Rufa, all those places are non-agricultural. He says it depends upon Shem Eretz Yisrael, Kinyan Eretz Yisrael of Ole Mitzrayim. Why suddenly over here does he say, contrary to the Ritva, that it's a function of Ole Bovel? So I believe that the answer is very simple. If the Rambam held like the Ritva, that's a function of Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz, and that the original idea of the Shluchim has became Batel and Mevutel, once you have Kiddush HaPi Cheshbon and Minhag HaSein of Yodenu, then right, you should follow Tabo HaTalia. You should follow the Ritva and say, Shem Eretz Yisrael, Ole Mitzrayim. However, according to the Rambam, the real criterion is Shluchim. Eretz Yisrael is only a secondary criterion, so if we're not sure, you have a right to make an historical assumption. So therefore, as the Chazon Ish explains, we have the right to make an historical assumption that if it's a part of within the borders that were inhabited by the people, so we have a right to assume that the Shluchim went everywhere. There could have been a gap somewhere. We don't have to worry about those gaps. If they're beyond the area which was inhabited by the people, we have no right to assume Shluchim got there unless we know it for a fact. So it's just a practical consideration. It's not a lumdus of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. It's not a lumdus of Shem Eretz Yisrael. It's a practical consideration. In Eretz Yisrael, which was inhabited, there we have a right to assume that the Shluchim arrived. Now you'll say, but how do you know it's a function of what they inhabited? It's exactly dependent upon what we call Kedusha Shnia. We don't know precisely, but you had to give a point somewhere. The Chazal Koveya, that as long as it was within those boundaries, you have a right to assume that the Shluchim got there. So now we understand very well why it's a function of Ole Bovel. Ole Mitzrayim may have a Shem Eretz Yisrael or a Kinyan Eretz Yisrael, but if the Yidden who lived, who came after in time of Bayis Sheni, and subsequently never reached those far-flung areas that were originally reached by Ole Mitzrayim, by Yoshua ben Nun, so I mean they probably didn't even live there. But they probably didn't even live there. We have no chazaka that the shluchim arrived there, and therefore it depends upon kedushas, excuse me, upon the Eretz Yisrael shekidshu ole bovel, not because of a kedushas haaretz of agricultural. It's just a practical consideration. Where were the people living? And they're only living in the more limited area where the ole bovel reached. That's a little brief Torah I wanted to share with you, combining the first shiur, as privileged to hear from Rabbi Aaron Zichron Levracha here in this yeshiva, together with something which is relevant to the limud ha-mesech that we're learning now in Mesech the Beit. I want to just add one thing, that although Rabbi Aaron left shortly after I was in the shiur, only a year later, I was privileged to learn more than just that year when we learned Mesech the Gittin. And we learned Mesech the Gittin, we started at Beis, and we got all the way towards the end of the year, went quickly all the way to that mem, I believe. But Rabbi Aaron used to give some shiur. That summer, I remember distinctly, the summer after I was finished my first year of college, was before Mor HaShah Kollel, before NCSY Kollel, what? Where was it? The only place to learn was here in the yeshiva. And Rabbi Aaron gave shiur, I remember, in Perek Klal Gadol. And I have a notebook somewhere from those shiurim also. And it was just tremendous. Tremendous thing. And people come and will listen. I guess I can see I was a kind of one of the groupies, and I was one of the people who was really devoted and attached, as the Talmud should be attached to a Rebbe, you know. And I really, he was a hero for us, a real hero figure. Oh, but aside from his tremendous lomdus and clear presentation, and his flowery English, which we weren't so used to in from other rabbis that we were privileged to learn from, he had ideas, expansive ideas on matters of the day and matters of Judaism, some of which have been later printed in his English books, which we were privileged to hear as youngsters on these Thursday afternoon, Thursday Hashkafa Shirim. And again, I'm pulling out this for me, a nostalgic notebook, in which some of these ideas are to be found. And I'm going to share with you some of the highlights of I just picked these two because they are the parasha. It's the parasha we read last week and the parasha we're reading this coming week. It says over here, Shir Bahashkofa, Yom Hei Parshas Vayera Tov Shin Chof Hei. Just a few highlights of this one and the next one of Parshas Kayesara, because it's between those two parshas. I'm not going to read the whole thing, just a few little things. Rav Aaron Zecher Tzadik Livracha had a tremendous liberalism which we had trouble understanding. Especially where we came from, you know, we came from the other more European Rosh Yeshivas with the Shaloa Sani Goy, which had a tremendous kavona, and we just I'm reading it from my notes. I mean, these are, notes don't lie. These are taken by a naive 17-year-old, and I never planned to read from this so many years later. So you see, it wasn't doctored. Here's what it says. There are two kinds of chesed. Everything is two. Even in Ashkenaz, two. One is called fellowship. Fellowship. All politicians have fellowship, drinking and playing together. There's a second concept. It's called friendship, based on a genuine desire to elevate your neighbor. Says Rabbi. Chazal made many gzeiros to segregate Jews from non-Jews. Yayin Nesech and Bishul Akum. And even from different kinds of Jews. And Amoritz has no nemonis. Tumah. These restrictions are to curb fellowship, not friendship. And he quoted the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. As far as Gemilas Chesed is concerned, not only should one do Chesed for a Jew, but even to a monotheistic non-Jew, even to pagans, Mefarnesim Ani Yakim, Mevakrim Chole Yakim, V'Racham Aval Kol Masov, V'Olachta Bidrochom, Ma'urachom Afator Rachom. Now this is clearly true, but you know, coming from him at that time, it was, it says, Al Tischaber LaRosha. That's fellowship. Fellowship, friendship applies to all. Parshas Vayei. Avraham Avinu shows friendship to Bedouins. And here it says something which I always associated with the Rav. I never knew I heard it first from a bar, but the notes say they don't lie. And explaining the importance of Ben Adam Lachaveiro, Rabaran quoted the last Mishnah of Masechta Yuma. Averus Sheben Adam Lachaveiro En Yom Kippur Mechaper. The Mishnah goes on, Om Rabbi Akiva Shrechem Yisrael Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. What's the comparison to a mikveh? My mikveh betaris atzmeim. Said Rabbi Zichrono Livracha, if you go into a mikveh 95%, you leave a finger out, you're not 95% tar. You're not tar at all. If an individual is scrupulous about Ben Adam Lamoko and does tshuva on that, but not a Ben Adam Lachavero, not only is he did not get a kapara, of course, Ad Shiratas Chavero for the Ben Adam Lachavero, but the tara that Yom Kippurim can offer does not apply to him because he has one hand out of the mikveh. And therefore Avraham Avinu had both. Even to the pagans, he felt he must be as kind as possible to them. But then he moved to the second part of the parasha, Akedat Yitzchok. And the Rebbe taught us about Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem. And he pointed out a paradox that people who are incapable of small sacrifices, the smallest things, can sacrifice everything for something precious. So there's a story here about a woman who was incapable of restraining her anger at the remarks of a senile mother. The mother was around the house and couldn't handle it. The mother got sick, went to the hospital, gave up her job, her tar, everything. She went to everything. He quoted the mimer that the Alexander the Great asked the Chachamim, "Mayasa Adam v'yichye," and they answered him, "Yomis es atzma." Man should imagine choosing between an ideal and his life and translate this potential into situations when his life is not endangered. This was, for those who knew her, but this is classic. Classic. And he quoted the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah in Perek Hei Halacha Aleph. Kol Beis Yisrael Mechuyim B'Kiddush Hashem. And then he goes into the explanation. Most Averis is Yavor Val Yehoreg, but three Averis is Yehoreg Val Yavor. Said Rabaran in his own inimitable way, we are accustomed to thinking that the Kiddush Hashem is Yehoreg Val Yavor. He said, no! The Kiddush Hashem is even more so. Is the Yavah Val Yehoreg. Is someone who is going to be, not to die on Kiddush Hashem, to live a Kiddush Hashem. This is the ultimate, the greatest, the highest form of Kiddush Hashem. Overcoming a temptation to do an Avera is a Kiddush Hashem. A man with perfect relationships, Menon L'Chavero, is a Kiddush Hashem. The Iker of Kiddush Hashem is living for him, not dying for him. These are quotations from the notes. A few brief remarks from the Rebbe's Hashkaf Hashir of Yom Hei to Parshas Chayei Sora, Tov Shin Chof Hei. And I feel that this is something which the Rebbe would want us to talk about. One of the, aside from, we had talked about two themes. The first theme was, Ben Adam LaChavero in the most liberal definition. It applies to everyone. Rav Aaron did not tolerate prejudice. He never could stomach remarks, racial remarks, and then he just couldn't handle it, because he was the true liberal and the most sublime, ethical, uncompromising form. Not today, it's the most the fakers. The only liberals till it hurts, and all of a sudden when you step on their toe, it's all over. Barn was, as we heard yesterday, a man of principle out of self. He would not budge on principle. Wouldn't budge. That was the first theme. And the second theme, Kiddush Hashem. And the two are connected. He felt he wasn't just posturing. He wasn't posturing when he made these remarks. That we said, ooh, he really meant it. I can tell Adas he really meant it. There was no posturing by him. And the third theme I think is important to bring out was the theme of Eretz Yisrael, where he felt so strongly. And you know, this came up, of course, later. I'm talking 1964, when it was a different world, when we didn't talk about giving back territory. They were then in the hands of the Arabs. These issues didn't come up even at all in those years. You see already then, Rabban is talking about why it is that Avram refused to accept the grave for free. He wanted to pay. Why did he want to pay? Says Rav Aaron, there is legal ownership and moral and psychological ownership. Rotz ha'adam kav shelo yosh lemitisha kav shel chavero. Says Rashi, shetorach ovad ve'omol bo. You work for it. When you don't work for it, it's garnished. It can even be bitter. He quotes here that the water in Morrow was not really bitter. So why was it bitter? Because it wasn't Kav Shalahem. When Moshe threw into a stick, put some effort into it, became sweet. Remarkable interpretation. Hazorim bidima barina yiktaru. And he go on into I'm just going to make reference to it, about the Valojin and the Telzaderech, what makes the tea sweet? Is it the sugar or the stirring? I'm just reading from the notes, but I don't want to get involved in this. Then he quotes Matthew Arnold. He says, I'm saying, who? Matthew Arnold, that the Greeks want beautiful and not beautiful, but the Jews, right and wrong. Yes, we believe in beauty, that Kelly Bianveyu, but it must be coupled with right. Man from the beginning lacked beauty. But the Greeks weren't happy with all the conquerings because it wasn't Kav Shalom. It wasn't Kav Shalom. It has to be Kav Shalom. And for this reason, explained Rav Aaron Zichrono Livracha, Avraham Avinu had to pay full price for the part of Eretz Yisrael. So it should be morally and psychologically his as well as legally. Had he got it as a gift, it would have been a legal gift, but he didn't do anything for it. He wouldn't have had this strong feeling for it. And finally, I'd like to mention Rav Aaron's outlook upon death. Appropriate to mention at this time, you already heard last night, the Tosik referred to Avraham Zokin Bo Bayomim, Vashem Beirach Es Avraham Bakol. This constitutes the gist of all Hilchos Tara V'tuma. Yiras Hashem Tahora Omedes La'ad. Torah has the potential to be everlasting. Tomei tends to decay and disintegrate. Amesa the Avi Avos HaTuma. Death is disintegration. Decay. When one is in contact with death, he is emotionally frustrated. And so it's an Avatuma. And the Kohen can't get involved. And this feeling can be contagious. That's why tumah is transmitted. The only thing that's not mekabel tumah is a mechuber. Said Rav Aaron, Avram was not emotionally frustrated because he was a mechuber. He had roots. Bo bayomim, in possession of his days. We heard Dr. Lukens refer to the La'at HaCherev HaMisapeches, as the Zohar is Rucho Shel Adam. It constantly changes. Mirogos L'Nachas and Nachas L'Rogos, Mitav L'Bish, Bish L'Tav. A man becomes frustrated, then his tumor. Man has become a mechuber to Hashem by sacrifice. Then, by becoming mechuber to Hashem, he can defy the tumor. He's not mekabel tumor, and can live on forever and defy the tumor that's described in the Torah. As we heard just before, the Rebbe was brought to his eternal rest on Har HaZeisim just before Shmini Atzeres and Hoshana Rabbah. I'd like to close by referring to something which we all say on Hoshana Rabbah, which I believe is an appropriate conclusion to these few words. The great love Rabbi Aaron Zatzal had for Eretz Yisrael, uncompromising. He did things which he was against his grain, involving himself in politicians and all kinds of, this is not him. But he felt so strongly about Eretz Yisrael, how to do it. We read on Hoshana Rabbah about that final call, the call of Tchiyas HaMeisim. And what do we say? Kol bo berivavos kitim, lamod al har hazeisim, mevaser v'yomer. That mountain on which the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal is buried, the har hazeisim. And if I may, what does the Zayis represent for us? The Zayis relating to the original Aaron, the Aaron HaKohen. Chazal comment that the Zayis, Semen Zayis Zoch, represents the crushing of the Zayisim. And it says in Chazal, in the Medrash, that Klal Yisrael, the more you crush him, the purer the oil comes out. We all know how many difficulties Rabbi Aaron Zatzal had in his lifetime. No need to elaborate what's spoken about yesterday at great length. And so others could be broken by it. From him came purer and purer oil as a result of the Kosis Lamor. All that crushing and the difficulties, he came even with even greater light. This is symbolized by the fact that he's interred in the Har HaZeisim, the Har, the Mount of Olives, representing the purity that was his entire life, coming from the difficulties of life, as he used to call it, the vicissitudes, one of the words I learned from him, the vicissitudes of life. Finally, we conclude with the Pasuk, with the memory from the same exact paragraph, where we are taught about, we say it on Hoshana Rabbah, the very day that he was buried in Har HaZeisim. Kol kumu kefushei ofar, hakitzu v'rananu shochnei ofar, mevaser v'yomer b'mehera v'yomenu amin. I'm going to go to the hospital.